We know our kids are powerful. Well, that was nothing. How many believe your kids are powerful? Hello, honey, do you have my mic turned up? Didn't know if I was in the room by myself this morning. How many believe your kids are powerful? Yes. Amen. How many believe they are anointed? Yes. Amen. How many believe they have purpose and calling? Yes. Amen. How many believe that God has a host of heaven around them? Yes. Amen. I believe that. How many pray over them every day? Amen. We pray over our family. Pray for protection. We pray for God to anoint them, to draw them close to Him. Yeah. Amen. To guide their steps. Amen. Hallelujah. His ways are not our ways, but His ways are perfect. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I was very thankful to have Pastor Galen Weinbrenner with us last week. Yeah. Amen. I got to listen online. I had sniffles and some allergy things, so I just kept my germs to myself. But I got to listen online, and I was shouting with you and praying with you and crying with you. And I had a good time. Amen. I'm thankful for live stream. I'm thankful for those we can reach who are not able to gather with us. And we have people from all over the country that sign on and watch live stream. Amen. Pastor David Hughes has church with us regularly on Sundays, he said. So good morning, Pastor, if you're listening. Kelvin Muhammad from Trinidad. Amen. How many know God is good all the time? And the power of a camera and the power that we have to share the gospel and never have to leave this hill. How many are thankful for that? And I just want to remind you that when you are giving into this ministry and giving into this house, you are touching people in Trinidad and North Carolina and all over the world. Amen. When you give into Dr. Lynn Howes and Joyce's ministry, you are literally touching people all over the world. Don't take lightly what you give or seed that you are sowing into good ground, because I believe when we sow seed into good ground that God gives back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many are ready for some running over? I'm ready for some running over. I believe in sowing seed into good ground, and I believe in sowing seed with purpose. Amen. We sowed some seed recently, and I said, Lord, we prayed over it, and I said, Lord, I sow this with purpose into good ground, and I pray that you will give an increase. Not necessarily that the increase even has to come to me. I just want the increase to come to the kingdom, because I know when the kingdom is blessed and we live under kingdom mindsets and kingdom mandates, how many know we're blessed? How many king's kids we got in here today? I don't think we have to live like paupers. I believe we can live like a king's kid and enjoy the bounty of what God has brought to us, what He's paid for, what He's already put into action for you. How many know He wrote a will and a testament? Did you know your name is in that? That's good news this morning. That you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Amen. I shared this weekend, and you know the scripture is a staple of mine, but it says, since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what, dwells in you, it will quicken and make alive this mortal body. How many believe the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you? A couple of you do. How many of you believe that that same spirit, the scripture says it does, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us? Yeah. And it quickens and makes alive this fleshly mortal body. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. We don't live as orphans. We don't live as ones that are estranged from His presence. I mean, the psalmist said, where can I go to flee your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I ascend into the depths, you're there. I mean, there's nowhere you can go that you're not in the presence of God. And we've been doing a series on shipwrecked. I mean, Paul was shipwrecked. And it was not of his own doing. Paul was shipwrecked because of the charges that were brought against him by the Jewish council and the Jewish church, right? And he was shipwrecked because of that. No fault of his own, no blame game, no reason, you know, that he should take any guilt of that. But how many know storms came when Paul was on the ship? But the scripture says that Paul heard from heaven. An angel appeared to Paul. He warned them, stay in the boat, stay in the ship, unload unnecessary cargo, and God is going to bring us safely without harm. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm praying that over my household. Stay in the ship. You know, we talked about friendships and relationships and all those kind of things. And I don't want to re-preach everything I've already preached, but how many know what he did was hold on to his peace of the ship until he got to shore? How many know sometimes you just got to hold on to your peace? P-I-E-C-E or P-E-A-C-E. Amen? Sometimes you got to hold on to your peace of the ship. And the ship that we hold on to is not, it's his lordship. How many believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords today? That does not change when your circumstances change. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. He is sovereign. We have to hold on to leadership. How many know that we need quality leadership in this day? From the pulpit to the door, from Washington, D.C., all across our country and around our world, how many know we need solid leadership? Leadership is important. Who you take counsel from matters. If I'm going to talk to somebody about my finances, I do not want to talk to somebody who's about to lose theirs. Right? Wouldn't make any sense. If I want to talk to someone about my health, I'm not going to ask my mechanic. Right? If I want a recipe, I'm not going to ask a skinny cook. That was just a joke. How many know where you take your counsel from matters? And a lot of times what we do when we want counsel, we go to somebody we think that'll tell us what we want to hear, right? But if you truly are seeking godly counsel, number one, you can go to the Word, right? If I want to build a house, I'm not going to ask my doctor for instruction how to do it, right? I'm going to seek somebody who knows how to build. Amen. And so where we go for counsel matters. T.D. Jakes and Ron Carpenter both preached a message about comrades, constituents, and confidants. How many know there's a difference in those three things? Yeah. Constituents are for what you're for. Okay? They're in it for because they're for what you're for. Comrades are against what you're against. Yeah. Constituents are in it for the long haul. They're in it for you. And that's constituents. Confidants are in it for you. They're in for the whole long haul. They're in it no matter what. And one of the things they say in that is never mix that up. How many know not everybody is your confidant? Not everyone is a safe place to share your secrets. I've learned to guard as much as possible what is said out loud in open settings because not everyone will guard your secrets. Amen. And you don't need a lot of confidants, but you need a couple. How many know you need four friends that'll carry you and rip off a roof for you? How many know that's a confidant? They don't just leave you laying when it's not profitable to them. How many know Moses didn't have a lot, but he had two that stood on the mountain with him? And you know, even as I think about pastor appreciation and things like this week, not just because I'm a pastor, but my heart has been for pastors across the country. And Lynn can share this too, because how many know this is a hard season to pastor in? churches that are struggling and things like that. How many know when Moses stood on the mountain, he stood there and the Lord said, as long as your hands are raised, there's victory in the valley for everyone else. How many know that's a lot of pressure? And he said, Moses started to get weary. Anybody in here ever getting weary keeping your hands raised? How many know raising your hands is a posture of praise and worship? But there's sometimes it gets heavy and you get weary and it's hard to keep your hands raised in a posture. And the worst thing about it is, you know, if you go down, everyone's going down. That's a lot of pressure. But how many know God gave Moses two men to stand, one on each side, and one lifted up this hand without wrath, and one lifted this hand up without doubt and said, we got you, Moses, and we got those down in the valley. Because when Joshua would look up there, he said, they're standing together in unity in a picture of a mercy seat. And as long as they got their hands raised in worship, we know that the battle is the Lord's. How many can say today, the battle is the Lord's? And he will give you victory in the mountain, and he will give you victory in the valley. Who you take your cue from, who you sit under as leadership matters. Amen. If ever there's a word that needs to come forth in this season, it's a word of victory. It's a word of power. It's a word of a reminding who we are. How many know we're not just fleshly beings? I told you already, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one of you. And if you will activate the power of the Holy Spirit, it will come alive in you. Amen? We have that spirit. We have that indwelling Christ in us. You need to know that when we said about, is your ship seaworthy? Lordship, leadership, sonship. How many believe that you are the sons of God? Yeah. That includes us ladies. Amen. Just like we are the bride of Christ, which includes you men. How many know we are connected to him? We are the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know, somewhere, and they were saying, can women be apostles? And the answer was quick, well, no, you can't be apostles because women can't raise sons, you know, or can't be fathers. And so this lady was quoting, well, if that's the case, then Paul the apostle said, of whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. So if Paul could travail and give birth, women could also be fathers of the gospel. Yeah. So I thought that was a brilliant way.
Amen, amen. There you go. There you go. Scripture says, neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. And at the day of Pentecost, he said that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah. How many of that was prophesied by Joel way before the New Testament ever came on the scene, or the day of Pentecost? So how many know God's not concerned about gender? That we are the sons of God. We are sonship. We know who we belong to. I know in whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is, what, able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. Fellowship. Who we are in fellowship with. Hallelujah. Our ship. Is your ship seaworthy? Who are you in fellowship with? Who are you hanging out with? The last thing you want to do if you are in despair or discouraged is hang out with somebody else who's discouraged. How many know it's hard because you feed off of each other? How many know you got to have another voice outside of that, you know, worship or just an encouraging voice to say, it's going to be okay. I'm praying for you. You know, God's got this, you know, and reminding us of who we are. Amen. In him. Hallelujah. And then stewardship. How many believe that God requires stewardship of us? Yeah. That we steward grace. And we steward finances, and we steward our body, and we steward our health, and we take care of those things that he has committed to us. Hallelujah. But I want to talk about shipwreck today, and I want to talk about your spiritual health influences your mental health. How many believe that? What your mind dwells on, what you think of, and what you ponder on matters. We talk a lot about stinking thinking. How many know sometimes you have to change your mind? The Lord woke me up this morning with scriptures, and he was giving me scriptures, and Dan said, where are you going? I said, I got to go write some scriptures down before I forget them. But he was just giving me scriptures about renewing your mind, and he said, and the scripture out of Ephesians came to me, said, speaking to yourself, and you guys know this, speaking to yourself, what, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Anybody ever had to talk to yourself? A few of you. Any of you ever had to give yourself a talking to? I've had to. I've had to say, now look, you cannot stay in this place. You know the power of the Holy Spirit abides in you. You know you are anointed and appointed. You know that God's got this. You know that he is sovereign. You begin to remind yourself what the word says. Amen? Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How many know we don't always feel like singing? Or if you do, we sing gloom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. How many remember that song? There's a few older folk. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And we sometimes get in that song. How many know if you're down, you don't want to sing the blues? You want to sing a joyful song, a merry heart. Doeth good like a medicine. And so sometimes we have to speak to ourselves. Give myself a talking to. Amen? And speak to ourselves. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. How many of the scripture talks about several of them? David, I believe it was, had to encourage himself in the Lord. Yes. We're going to talk about David a little bit this morning. But when I, my verse for the day that came up, and I didn't give this to you in this translation, but we'll read it again later. But my verse of the day, I have a verse that pops up on my phone every day that's the verse of the day. 9 o'clock every day, I get a verse of the day. And this one just, I love how this says it, and it's in the Passion Translation. He empowers the feeble and infuses the powerless with increasing strength. I love that. He infuses. He empowers the feeble and infuses the powerless with increasing strength. Even young people faint and get exhausted. Athletic ones may stumble and fall, but those who wait for Yahweh's grace will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. I like that. That's Isaiah. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a popular verse with us. But I love that out of the Passion Translation. How many know he infuses us with strength? He empowers the feeble, infuses the powerless, and increasing strength. How many are ready for some strength to come to your body today? Not just strength in your physical body, but strength in your spirit man. Amen? Hallelujah. To begin to stand up and declare wholeness and healing and life and declare those things that God has promised with a boldness. I mean, and sometimes you got to pray bold prayers. Anybody ever pray bold prayers? Hallelujah. But those who wait for Yahweh's grace will experience divine strength. I pray divine strength today over everyone in this house and everyone listening on this camera, that there's the power of the divine strength, not my own strength. How many know that Samson operated out of divine strength? It was a God-given strength. But I believe there's a divine strength that we can operate in even when we are weak and weary in our own body and in our own being. But I wanted to talk about our spiritual health affects our mental health. And a lot of the focus even this month is on mental health. So can we just talk for a minute? You know, we a lot of times talk about mental health as if it's a secret. And we treat our physical health, but we don't treat our mental health, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And some of the ways we treat them, rather you need to treat them with medication. And how many know God has anointed scientists to give medications that help balance the imbalances in your body? Yeah. So if that's what you need to do to help, but I believe also that it's many-membered, it's a many-factioned of a thing. It's not just medication, but it's what we put into our minds, what we put into our hearts, and what we allow our thought process to be. How many know sometimes the best thing we can do is come to church, hear the words of worship and praise and how big our God is, hear the testimony of others who God has lifted them up, brought them through, healed them, protected them, gave them grace, even in the midst of crisis. How many know grief is not easy to walk through? Depression, despair, anxiety, those things are not easy to walk through. But I want to tell you that God can stir up in you mind, soul, body, and spirit. That he can minister and bring healing in so many areas of our life. Amen? And so sometimes it's just being able to remind, you know, I was reading last night, just reading scriptures and reminding myself of what the word says. When I heard that this morning, I was like, oh, I like that. That's for me. I'm keeping that. Hallelujah. That he gives grace and he infuses us with strength and power. Hallelujah. And so I want to read this scripture out of 1 Samuel, and I've talked about this a lot, but it goes along with what I'm saying. How many know that Elijah dealt with despair in the Bible? You remember he goes to the cave and God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? How did you get here? And how many know David dealt with it? Jeremiah dealt with it. A lot of people in the Bible dealt with it. How many know the Psalms? Some of the songs of Asaph. They wrote the Psalms and they were struggling with some things. But how many know that ultimately in the end what they said, but God, you are God. And you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And if you were able to form me out of the dust, you're able to direct my steps. And you're able to give me hope. And you're able to give me peace and able to give me healing. But how many know David was in the cave? And it was the cave of Adullam. And I've preached this before. It's 400 men in a cave. David therefore departed. It's 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, sorry, there's a gnat, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him in the while, in all the while that David was in the hold. I mean, you know, David had been to the house of the priest. He had gotten the showbread. He went there and he asked him, he said, do you have any weapons here? He said, I am on the king's mission and I have nothing. I left without sword, spear, I have nothing. Do you have anything here? And the priest said, we don't have anything except what? The sword of Goliath, and it's wrapped in the ephod. And so he says, give it to me. There is no sword like that sword. And he takes the sword of Goliath and he goes to the cave of Adullam. Now, when he gets to the cave of Adullam, there are 400 men that come with him and they are in distress, they are in debt, and they are discontented. That is 400 men in a bad mood, right? That's 400 people, men, in a bad mood. Discontented, in debt, despair, and discouraged. And the Lord begins to speak to David. Now, what does he do? He gives David the sword of Goliath. And I looked this up last night. When David is in the cave of Adullam, he is 2 miles from the place where he killed Goliath. Wow. 2 miles from the place where he killed Goliath. Now, that speaks to me. Because you can stand at the cave of that you can stand at the mouth of that cave, and you can join in with those who are in despair or discontented or discouraged, or you can step outside the mouth of the cave and look over 2 miles where you see the mountain that Goliath was laid in and said, if my God was able then, he is able now. If he could give me victory two miles ago, he can give me victory down the path. How many know sometimes when we get in despair, we're only 2 miles from where God has already given us our greatest miracles and our greatest blessings. What's one of the best ways to pull yourself out of discontentment and despair is to remember what God has already done in your life. And I could probably hand this microphone to anyone in here this morning and have you give a testimony of God's goodness or God's faithfulness in your life and said, I remember the time. I remember when. I can remember not having knowing where the house payment was come, but God would meet the need and the house payment was paid. I remember our house being paid early. I don't know, paid off early. I don't know how it happened, but I know God was instrumental in making it happen. I remember sitting in the hospital with Dan with a bowel blockage, and he was scheduled for surgery, and God moved and that blockage was gone, whatever it was, but God moved on his behalf and we never had problems with that again. I remember the times when God moved and we prayed on our behalf. Amen. You know, sometimes you got to remind yourself of the histories and the testimonies of those things and remember, I'm only 2 miles from my greatest miracle. I am a giant slayer. I am powerful. I am anointed. I am called to be king. I was anointed in Bethlehem. Yeah. How many know God anointed David, but it was many days before he saw kingship? Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. What keeps you going is understanding God's got purpose and calling and anointing on your life. How many know David had not yet become king? And he dealt righteously with Saul. He could have killed Saul in his sleep. He could have killed Saul several times, and he said, I will not touch God's anointed or do his prophets any harm. I will not touch God's anointed. And so he put the battle in the hands of God and let God move Saul out of the way and bring him to his kinship and his kingship. Hallelujah. But how many know you have a choice in that cave to either be a thermostat or a thermometer, right? A thermometer can tell you the temperature in the room, but the thermostat has the power to change it. How many know you're agents of change? And sometimes by the confession of our mouth, we can change atmospheres and change mindsets and change the mood. Amen? You might not change the circumstance, but you might change how you reflect on it, how you see it, how you view it. And this is the psalm that David writes when he's in the cave, Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. How many know the shadow of his wings is on a mercy seat? In the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. What does David do? He puts his circumstances into the hand of God. My lips shall praise thee, yet will I bless thee. Hallelujah. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Hallelujah. How many of fear can shipwreck you? Anxiety can shipwreck you. Depression, doubt, unbelief, grief, those things can cause you to be tossed about. Amen? And what do we do What is the antidote to that? Well, we talked about lordship, kingship, sonship, all of those kind of things. But how many know trust is a big factor? Yes. Trust is a big factor. How many know even in Paul's shipwreck, his trust was in the Lord? And the angel came to him and said, Paul, you must go before Caesar. How many know there's a must in your life that the hand of God is with? You must go before Caesar. And so they were not lost in the shipwreck. But Paul goes onto the shore, and he's on the shore, and all of a sudden they are gathering sticks for the fire, and they welcome them to the bonfire. Remember that? And they welcome them to the bonfire, and the natives are on the island, and he gathers sticks, and when he goes to throw the sticks into the fire, what happens? A snake, a viper, a venomous snake latches onto his hand as he goes to throw it in. And what's the mindset of everyone around him? He's going to die, but he must have done something horrible. He must be a murderer or something. That's why the viper. I mean, so many times we miss what God wants to do because we're looking for, it must be something in their life that God did, when really it's an opportunity for a miracle. Because you know what Paul does? He goes over to the fire and he shakes it off. And he shakes it in the fire. And when he shakes it in the fire, guess what? Now everybody thinks he's a god. Can I just tell you that the people that are for you today may not be for you tomorrow? And who you hang out with and who you let influence your life matters. And they said he must be a murderer. And then in a moment later, he must be God. You cannot take the voice of the crowd. You cannot take other people's opinion, nor can you worry about what other people are saying about you. What other people are saying about you is none of your business. You know that? The less you know about it, the better you are. And he shakes it off in the fire. How many know I believe that's symbolic, that Paul is shaking off? He said, Jesus called the Pharisees and scribes and Pharisees, you generation of vipers. He called them vipers. How many know what Paul was having to do was shake off that generation of vipers that was trying to latch onto him? The whole reason he's in this position is because they're sending him to Caesar because of the guilt and the charge of the Jewish council. How many know sometimes you got to shake it off? If somebody don't believe like you do, shake it off. Somebody thinks you're a murderer, shake it off. Somebody thinks you're a god, shake it off. You feel like you've been bitten lately? Shake it off, because the fire consumes. The fire consumes everything that would try to attack you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are, come on somebody, say mighty. They are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Your enemy is not your neighbor or the guy who cut you off in traffic. The enemy is your response to it. Yeah. And how you think about it. How many know spiritual wickedness in high places? Our mindset. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know there's some times, some things that you got to shake it off? And when he shook it off, how many know he had opportunity to minister to those who were on the island? You cannot be affected by what people think. By what people say. How many know everyone has an opinion today? Yeah. I look at less and less social media. I look at less and less TV. Yeah. I look at HGTV. And the only thing I got to deal with is Dan yelling and saying, why didn't they check the foundation? I say, honey, it's in the script. You got to have drama. Right? They always run into trouble somewhere in that house. They have to go back for more money. We know it, right? I said, honey, it's in the script. It's drama. But how many know that is not my, that's not my circus? I don't have to fix that house. I can watch it from this view and laugh at what they do, right? How many know I am learning to guard my mind? I am learning to guard my heart. I like to laugh. I said before, there is nothing more therapeutic than a baby's belly laugh. Amen. Or that giggle you get when you're in church and you can't stop laughing, and or in school, and the more they tell you to stop laughing, the more you laugh, the funnier it gets, right? And so that's, you ever done that, Gavin, in class? Yeah, and like the more they tell you not to laugh, the more you gotta laugh, right? So it just doesn't work. But how many know laughing is therapeutic? Sometimes you just gotta giggle. You need a good belly giggle. You need to laugh. Hallelujah. Sarah laughed when God said the promise and said, Sarah, your barrenness is about to produce an offspring. And I'm going to make a nation out of you. And Sarah laughed. Said, how could this ever be? How could I ever have pleasure again? How could I ever have the seed of God in my barrenness? Is there any life left in me? And she laughed in mock or in its scorn at the promise of God. Have you ever in your mind just thought, God, how in the world? But the scripture says that the angel said to her, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. And what does God do? He brings forth Isaac out of her womb that seemed like a tomb. How many know it's until you produce life out of it, it seemed like a tomb, but God makes her womb open and he brings forth Isaac. And when he does, he births an Isaac whose name means laughter. And then she really laughed. That's where I think she really got a belly giggle. She really had one of those moments, holy laughter, when she said, not only did God cause me to laugh, but he gave me a son. So forever I will be connected with laughter. And all those that see me will laugh with me. How many know you just need some people to laugh with you? Hallelujah. You just need someone who will bring a little bit of laughter and encouragement in your heart until you can laugh for your promise. Hallelujah. But he brings laughter and he brings rejoicing. Psalms 28, 7 and 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted. Trust is a factor in him. And I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Hello, anointed. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I want to read a couple scriptures real quick, and then we'll close. But Psalm 77, the Psalm of Asaph, is a favorite of mine. And I like it in the Message version. Now, how many know Asaph was the chief worshiper, right? He's the worship leader, right? He's the chief worshiper. How many know that when they did worship, it was a big affair? They brought out the timbrels and the dance and the music and the lutes and the lyres and the harps and all of those kind of things. And they sent Judah first because Judah means worship. Judah means praise. And Song Asaph 77 says, I yell out to God. I yell with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. He listens. I found myself in trouble and went looking for my Lord. My life was an open wound that wouldn't heal. When friends say everything will turn out all right, I didn't believe a word they said. I remember God and shake my head. I bow my head, then wring my hands. I'm awake all night, not a wink of sleep. I can't even say what's bothering me. I go over the days one by one. I ponder the years gone by. I strum my lute all through the night, wondering how to get my life together. Will the Lord walk off and leave us for good? Will he never smile again? Is his love worn thin bare? Has his salvation promise burned out? Has God forgotten his manners? Has he angrily stalked off and left us? Just my luck, I said. The high God goes out of business just the moment I need him. Once again, I'll go over what God has done, but then it begins to shift and it begins to turn. Once again, I'll go over what God has done 2 miles from where you slayed the giant.
Before you've been walking that, you know, Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified. Goliath of Gath, the place of the skull. So the ultimate victory was already won by Christ.
Absolutely. Golgotha, if you didn't hear that, the name Golgotha means Goliath of Gath, and it's the place where Goliath's head was buried. So how many know when Jesus was the ultimate giant slayer? And that when he stood, and the scripture says, I will make my enemies my footstool. How many know when Jesus stood on the cross, his head was on the head of that giant? Your victory has already been won through the cross. Amen. How many know Jesus was the offspring of David? The greater king, the greater deliverer, the greater giant slayer. He turns it around. He says, once again, I'll go over what God has done. Lay out on the table the ancient wonders. I'll ponder all the things you've accomplished and give a long, loving look at your acts, O God. Your way is holy. No God is great like God. You're the God who makes things happen and showed everyone what you can do. You pulled your people out of the worst kind of trouble, rescued the children of Jacob and Joseph. Ocean saw you in action. God saw you and trembled with fear. Deep ocean was scared to death. Clouds belched buckets of rain. Sky exploded with thunder. Your arrows flashing this way and that. From whirlwind came your thundering voice. Lightning exposed the world. Earth reeled and rocked. You strode right through ocean, walked through roaring ocean, but nobody saw you come or go. Hidden in the hands of Moses and Aaron, you led your people like a flock of sheep. How many know even greater than Moses, even greater than Joshua is here? You are still leading your sheep. Beside still waters, you are still restoring their soul. You are still anointing their head with oil. How many know the reason to anoint the sheep's head with oil was to stop everything that was bugging them? It kept the bugs from aggravating the sheep. God will anoint your head so that those things that bug you have to go. Amen? He anoints my thoughts. He anoints my head. He anoints what goes into my ears, my eyes, my thoughts. The greater shepherd, the greater one is with us. Hallelujah. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. How many know God wants to be in your everyday life? Amen. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 is awesome. Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the, what, renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many know we renew into our minds? Our minds renewed to what Jesus has already done, what he's already accomplished, what is already available to us through the cross. Amen? Yeah. The blood of Jesus. There's nothing you've done in Adam that's more powerful than what God did on the cross. Hallelujah. That we trust God. That we trust God. That our faith, our trust, and our confidence is in Him. How? By renewing our minds. Hallelujah. By our focus on what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Stand with me this morning. How many know it's easy to get overworked? It's easy to get exhausted. It's easy to get tired. It's easy to get run down. And how many know that's when your body starts to get sick? But when we build ourselves up in the most holy faith, how many know there's things in the natural you can do to build up your immune system, to build up your body and strength? Amen? And there's things that we can do to build up our spirit man. One of the best things is coming together and hearing the affirmation of the Father. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's at your work. He's in your car. He's in your sleep. Amen. That he is with you. That we can trust him no matter what. Amen. Hallelujah. So whether you are here this morning, whether you're online, wherever you are, I just want you to submit your way to the Lord today. I just want you to say, Lord, I trust you. Hallelujah. I trust you with my mind. I trust you with my heart. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my finance. I trust you with my church. I trust you with my community, God, with my nation. Hallelujah, Lord. We trust in you today because you are the glory and the lifter of our heads. Father, our focus was on the ultimate giant slayer today. That when you stood on Golgotha, God, you put every enemy under your foot. Grief has got to go. Despair has got to go. Discouragement has got to go. Hallelujah. Anxiety has got to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak life. We speak healing. We speak peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you want special prayer this morning, if you want us to pray with you, we would be glad to do that. If you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, our altars are open and available. We would love to pray with you. There is no greater gift that you can receive than his salvation, his love, and his peace. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.